The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Take a Stock. It's Tuesday, the 21st November, 2023. Welcome along. And by all means, I'll start off with the housekeeping. If you haven't liked this, then please like it and share it if you like the content. And don't forget, hit that subscribe button. I know there's many of you that haven't because I can see the stats. But also, download the free Vox Markets app. And RNSs will arrive on the front screen of your smartphone. That's a short for smartphone. Smone. Show us your smone. Okay, so today, I'm looking at, in fact, I'll go through the comments, but first of all, I'll look at UK small cap boost. I think this could be happening. I want to show you a little article here. This is from Reuters. All right? And of course, we know it's the autumn statement tomorrow. Jeremy Hunt is a very exciting man. Very charismatic, I think. Him and Philip Hammond, they're interchangeable, aren't they? I can't now think of Philip Hammond and Jeremy Hunt together. Anyway, look at this. Are UK small caps about to get a boost? Britain launched growth funds to attract pension pot cash, and that's billions. So they're going to set up, this is a British business bank, will set up a new fund for pension schemes and asset managers to invest in growth companies. They want to encourage pension schemes to switch from a heavy focus on bonds and global blue chips to putting a portion of their cash into UK growth companies. Okay, under the compact, this was Jeremy Hunt talked at the Mansion House meeting, Mansion House compact. 10 companies have voluntarily committed to investing 5% of their pension funds into small listed companies and unlisted growth companies by 2030. Hunt will unveil on Wednesday, that's tomorrow, and it will help invest the first tranche of the £75 billion made available through those reforms. And the British Bank Business Bank will invest £250 million to seed two investment vehicles. And these are all in small companies here. So there's £50 million for investment into innovative UK funds. And also there's a UK long-term investment technology and science initiative. There's all that. But they're all going into small funds. I think it would be a massive boost for the economy, or for the stock market, because of course there's a lot of competition at the moment. The same from New York Stock Exchange, European stock markets as well. But if they do this, the inflow to smaller caps will be huge. And it doesn't need a lot. It doesn't need a lot of inward investment to start moving, because we've had 2 years of sell-offs, and largely a lot of the sellers are drying up slowly. You can see that by the bounce in the markets. So this could provide a massive boost. But I did put a survey on Twitter, or X, as it's now called. It's silly, isn't it? You can't say I tweeted, I X'd. It doesn't make any sense. I'm sure you're trying to ruin that for some reason. But what's going to help most? Would it have a GB ISA? We can boost your ISA allowance if you invest in UK businesses. Scrap stamp duty. I think this came out on top, actually. I think it's better for smaller cap investors, but I think inward investment. Then you're thinking something else, maybe. But also, I think government-backed funds, which this is talking about, and I think this just some of that pension money going into a growth company, small cap growth companies, could provide a huge boost. This is what UK business need. Like I said yesterday, the UK is full of innovative, clever people, come up with new tech, new science, and all it needs is the funding. That's all it needs. And we will be, a market leader in many of these areas. So it's very good to see this. I think I never really look forward to, Chancellor speeches. I do, I'm quite excited about this. Because, it's their last stand, really, isn't it? The election next year. And they want to boost something. They want to do something right. And this could be something they could do right, I think. I feel this could be good. Michael says, and congratulations, Michael. You are you win the award for the first commentator or comment on the live show. Fonzie just got in before the wire there. We'll talk about that in a minute, Fonzie. Michael says, Jeremy Hunt reminds me of Bertie Blunt from the Viz magazine. Which one is that? Bertie Blunt. I wonder if he has a parrot. There are things like I like about XPF. Also, Fonzie says, unless I've missed it, I'm not sure you've heard about discuss XPF recently. I've still invested. Why are they not attracting more interest following some good RNSs? I expect Q trading trading to be off the scale. Yeah, no, they're doing very well, XPF. And I think I have mentioned this before previously, actually. I think they're largely lumped in with the wider leisure sector when they're not. they're pretty much a new sort of arm of that, you know, experiential socializing, gamification of all that. It's a lot different from what you got out there. So, but they are, I think, just lumped in with that, and they're a fast-growing company. Let's just quickly go to the indices. By all means, comment there. I will pick up your comments. In fact, there are a few comments from yesterday I need to catch up on. But let's look at the indices today. Largely down. FTSE 100, down the most. Coca-Cola is the biggest riser. Admiral Group up there. What's Coca-Cola? Almost 5%. Admiral Group up 2.8%. Wimpy. Oh, there's a couple of house builders in there. National Grid. Imperial Brands. What's the fall of today? Ocado! John would love that. He's not here. John will be coming back in the way. But like I said, he had a life-changing situation with floods. So he's trying to sort out his life and his house there because the floods have messed that up. But Ocado down, Entain, Glencore down, Centrica, Flutter, International, all that stuff there. Let's just cover off some of the comments from yesterday. Stephen, thought I'd put this in because it's a very important comment. Stephen says, I like your shirts, Justin. Where do they come from? Well, they come from a small little boutique fashion designer called Next. I don't know if you've heard of them. Very exclusive. Tom, we're talking about what's your favourite stock yesterday. Tom said, Quantum Blockchain, great penny stock, will make £1. Why do you believe that, Tom? What's the investment thesis behind that? I did see that apparently Bitcoin got a bit of a boost. Let's have a look at the Bitcoin chart, actually, because have you seen videos of that? In fact, here's the AIM All Share. It's, you know, it's trying to get a little bit. What are we off? Almost 8%. But Bitcoin has got a bit of a boost from, what is it? That he almost seems crazy, doesn't he? The new Argentinian president. Have you seen him? There was a video online of him doing a piñata with the central bank. And he, apparently he's going to adopt the US dollar. But he's also a big fan of Bitcoin. It hasn't rallied that much. But if you saw that, but... yeah, that's let's look at the indices. Oh, I'll tell you what was interesting today, actually. Copper, and an alert on copper. Now, copper, of course, is regarded as a barometer of global health, global growth. In fact, look at that. It did try and break. Let's get the 50-day moving average off there because it's a bit messy. But as you can see, that downward channel there, okay, and then it's punched above that, and it's trying to get above that 200-day moving average, which would be a good move. Last time it did that, it wasn't a downtrend. But it did sort of break up a bit. But it's quite interesting. It's bouncing off these lows here, copper. So are we seeing fortunes turn? Well, you know, global growth. Sorry, back to the comments here. Sorry. Favorite stock. Goldie says, Silver Bullet. Google takeover? Yeah, listen, I you know, I can't talk about my stocks too much, but I think it's one of the most exciting tech stocks, you know, on the market today. And if you look at that announcement from last week, then... they've just got, you know, one of the biggest. I mean, there's three big ad agencies in the world. The biggest in the world are WPP, Omnicom, and a French company called Publicis or something like that. But already Omnicom are endorsing Silver Bullet's software. And their clients include people like Apple, you know, ExxonMobil, the biggest clients in the world. You can't get bigger companies than their client list. So I think that's hugely exciting. And it's this time, when they're talking about investing in, you know, exciting small growth companies, that's the type of company, you know, innovative, like 4D AI product they've got in ad tech, and that the majors are endorsing. That's, you know, let's say it's validation. When you get a small company's tech being validated by massive global major like that, it's superb validation of their technology. And not only that, there could be, of course, like you say, a takeover target. Because if the big companies haven't got that kind of tech, then they're going to want it. And so, you know, on two levels, just the, you know, the validation from a big company, and they are takeover targets. Sogo, is it? That's a strange username. It says Ashted Technology, AT dot, not the fall yesterday. Yes, that was Ashted. Let's look at AT. Let's look at that a second on the chart. AT dot. This is your favorite stock, you're saying? Of course, Ashted's a rental company that was, what was it, in America, had a profit warning yesterday. They were blaming lack of natural, like hurricane seasons and all that stuff. But that's a cracking chart. If you look at that, that is an uptrend. Amazing looking trend chart. So yeah, that's that's your favorite you said there. So that's good. In fact, let's have a quick look at XPF, because you mentioned that. And I do expect them to be doing very well, especially this season now, party season coming out. But again, it's in a range. You know, it's come down, it's rallied strongly up here, and then we're in this sort of range bound. There's three, you know, scenarios a chart can be in, of course. Always worth remembering this. Uptrend, downtrend, trying to avoid, range. And so, you know, it's not too bad range as long as they stay in that range. Because hopefully, if the companies, you know, can continue to generate valuation, the trend will go upwards. But yeah, a range can be very frustrating. You're sitting there with, you know, money invested for a long time. And so I'd like to see, you know, initially, you see, I've put some lines here. These are alert lines. A break above those lines would be quite nice. Break above 16 or 17 pence first, and then 18 and a half pence. And I think it's off to the races. But I highly recommend, if you go into a, you know, one of the boom battle bars or escape rooms, they're always busy. Always. Whenever I've been there, anyway. Okay. Let's have a look here. Any more comments before I get into some more content here? Harish, any thoughts on Interseed Interim today? Yes, I do, Harish. And do you know what? I've had one person said, when John went off, said, well, Justin just focuses on charts a lot. And I keep arguing, no, I don't. I look at fundamentals, technicals, and portfolio management when I'm investing, okay? But when it comes to doing a video, if I just go through figures of companies and, you know, financial results, it's boring. Charts are a lot better to look at. But I always look at fundamentals first, and the chart is an additional extra layer of protection on that, and portfolio management, extra layer of protection on top of that. And in fact, what I'll do for you right now is today I plugged in the figures of Interseed, not only the interims, but their finals early in the year, into my spreadsheet, and we'll look at them. Okay, so there we are. Dagger, again, Fraser's taking the biggest slice of ASOS. Yeah, I just saw that pop up. Like I say, with the Vox Markets app, you got the benefit of that. And in fact, I'll share the screen here. Is RNS is here, top right. Well, I did see this, ASOS, there we go. So where is he? Yeah, Mike Fraser there. Any more names you can think of? Tim Weatherspoon, of course, we got there, and Tim Apple as well. There's Jeff Amazon, and is Elon Tesla? Oh no, he's gone down. There we are. Fraser Group. That was the previous position, 19.5, down to 18.3. So he's selling a bit. Let's look at the chat. Yeah, well, yeah, look at that. That's in a range. At least the downtrend seemingly may have ended on ASOS, hopefully. But you can see that's a nice range there, flattening out. But yeah, he sold a few there, so that's interesting. In fact, who's buying stuff for war paint there? Directly dealing, good company, war paint. Oh, is it Exercises Options there? He said sold. He sold some. Okay. All right, fair play, Neil. Taking a bit of cash off the table there. Okay, so Interseed, let's go to Interseed. IGP is Dicker. There's news up today on Interseed. They are a 39 million market cap company. Okay, and they also announced today some new contract and renewal orders. Okay, what do? They are a leading specialist in digital identity, credential management, and secure mobility. It's pleased to announce the group has secured the following new contract. So these are a couple of contracts there. But what I look at is a half-year report. So what I do is it's taken me probably a year and a bit to create the spreadsheet. Because I want a way of finding, I'm after small growth companies, that's what I'm looking for. Most important thing for a growth company is to have growth. You know, they've got growth, first and foremost. But there's also many other things to look at. And evaluation is very important. If a company's overvalued, that's also a risk. So it's a good value. But it's also got to be, you know, healthy. The balance sheet's got to be healthy. And the more efficient it is, the more money or value generation drops to the bottom line. And then you've got potential. So I look at the, you know, forecasts, broker forecasts, plug that in as well. And then I look also then at the, you know, technicals. And then a downtrend, you know, uptrend, trading range. And this spreadsheet, like I said, I'll show you here, but I put all the figures in. These are the figures. This is the interims, okay, for the income statement, the balance sheet, and the cash flow statements. And these are the full year results, okay? And then once I do that, I also plug in the EBITDA there. And once I get that and the forecast, I plug that in. Once I do that, I get this, okay? So this is what I get. This is the sort of results of plugging all those figures in. There's lots of sort of formulas in this that highlight certain things. And so let's take these results here. 30th September 2023, actually, isn't it? So let's put this back there. Yeah, in fact, 2023. Just put that in there. I'll change that. But there we are. 39 million market cap, enterprise value, 29 million. So we know straight away, okay, they've got more cash than debt, which is a good thing, okay, because their enterprise value is lower than their market cap. Net asset value, 8.6, okay, average daily volume. It's a little bit of a concern, because you've got to look at liquidity in small cap stocks, micro cap stocks, because, you know, what you don't want to do is you're stuck in a company that you can't sell. Or if you do sell, it takes the share price down, and your quote becomes a lot lower. So then I just get the revenue, and then you just, this is the interesting information box. Operating profit loss, 960 grand, cash, 9.7. That's a nice slug of cash for a company with, 39 million market cap. No debt, operating cash flow, 1.7, free cash flow there. Then I go to these metrics. I say growth. Most important thing for a small cap, micro cap company is growth. And I assign them points. That's done automatically once these are plugged in. I like 20% or more, that's what I'm looking for. Because, of course, within 4 years, 20% or more, you double the company's revenue, pretty much. So the top line is growing 15. That's fine. Double digit. It's not up 20. But you can see the margins are getting better, or the costs are coming down, because operating profit growth has gone up by 61%. That's 5 points there. 5 points for that. Net profit growth also gone up, but the operating cash flow has gone down 20% there. So no points for that. Value. On this side, you can see that they were a lot more highly valued. Maybe they had less, profits, all that stuff, because they're all in the red here. But now, interims, they're improving. Price to earnings, 13. Okay, price to sales, a bit steep on the steep side. EV, EBITDA, 12, decent. The price of your guys are 12, it's okay. Health, very healthy. All green, top marks. Efficiency, again, very efficient. The margins have improved from their final results. So it's all looking good. Top marks. So you come down to potential, and there's not a lot of potential going forward. The top line growth isn't huge. I mean, the momentum is okay, because we can see the share price is above 50-day moving average and above 200-day moving average. But the 50-day is not above the 200-day, which is the golden cross. And these forecasts are based on broker forecasts. And I've put multiples in of 3x sales, 50x EBITDA, which is, it's not cheap. 20x pre-tax profit and 25x PE. And it comes to these figures. So I'm saying it's a very nice company, very good. I'm just concerned the upside. And in small caps, you are looking, over 3 years for me, I'm looking for 100% minimum. So what I'm saying, the forecast, their potential isn't huge, but nevertheless, it's a very good company, doing very well, profitable, lots of cash, nice margins. And of course, they win bigger contracts, that potential will go up. So that can change, but it's worth looking at. So just worth having a look at the chart, IGP, Indices Group. And if you see there, it was a 50-day moving average. So you can see the share price is above, in fact, that's going towards that. So share price is above 50, above 200, and the 50-day moving average is close to crossing that. So, yeah. Not bad. It's come down a long way, isn't it? From 120 down to 40 pence. It's had a nice rally start of the year, like a lot of stocks did, rolled over. But that's good. We can probably see that was a low, probably back here in September. But yeah, nice company. Nice, very nice company. Profitable, lots of cash, very healthy. Just, potential going forward needs to be bigger. But like I said, if they land more contracts, the potential will become bigger. So that can change. And in fact, they've announced two new contracts renewals today. So, that can also change. Hope that makes sense. And like I said, I don't just focus on technicals. I do focus on fundamentals first and foremost, and then overlay the technicals. And then I also look at portfolio management. Anything else? RiskSoft. There are things I like about XPF, but just from memory, they didn't have much cash. They're cash generative now. Once they come up with results, I'm sure they come up with a trade update soon. We'll look at it. Not a problem if cash is coming in. Anyone got info on that? I think they are going to be cash generative. Michael S. First John, angling director, is being blamed for Dave's Angling Club being repurposed as an 18-bedroom swingers club in Manchester. I wonder if that's where John... What? That's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. What? Angling director is being blamed for Dave's Angling Club being repurposed as an 18-bedroom swingers club in Manchester. I wonder if that's where John is. I have no idea where John is. No, I'm assured he's sorting out his life and his house because it's had a significant water damage or the place you're going to buy. So we are. Okay. Some news. Truefin. PlayStation's augmented reality platform to focus on publishing and gaming. Yeah, their growth from gaming are releasing a lot of games this year, and that's going to be very good. And I quite like this. I mean, in my mind, I do like PlayStation. I like Oxygen. Satargo, because I own this, is the one, I think. And I don't care as long as they hold on to Satargo. Satargo, like I said, again, it's one of those companies where its technology is validated by bigger companies. And they've got Sage and Lloyds Bank, one of the biggest banks, one of the biggest companies, two FTSE 100 companies, using Satargo. That says a lot. You know, that those companies like that don't have technology as good as that. It shows it's best in class, you know, and that's a validator. And yet they're now just rolling out Satargo, which I think will do very well. But I'm very excited about that. So, yeah, to me, core to Truefin is Satargo. Auction is amazing, though. It's got very long-term visibility on contracts. But the growth... Satargo is, in fact, the growth in PlayStack is good, but Satargo is very good. Poolbeg strengthens IP. The clinic say biopharm company granted a patent application for its immunomodulator 2 by the Japanese Patent Office. I imagine the Japanese Patent Office are very thorough, aren't they? The Japanese are quite efficient and very thorough anyway. But it's almost like the patent office is a microcosm of that thoroughness. You know, if you are the most thorough in a thorough, you know, economy, then you work in the patent office in Japan. So that's very good there. I'm being given that. Pool, let's just have a quick look at the chart there. By the way, when I go through my spreadsheets and all that stuff, I rank them on scores. And all the scores I collect together. And so you can see which companies are doing well on growth or potential or health or whatever that stuff, you know. So I can compare all different companies. Yes, good chart there. We've covered this before, breaking out there nicely. And like I said, this downtrend, you can see the lower highs are there. And all of a sudden breaks up out of that downward trend. And now we're breaking above almost previous highs here, which is very nice. So that's a good move. What a guy, Sir Paul Beck. What else is there? Fintel. John, hang on a sec. Hang on, John. There he is. I've forgotten what he looks like. He's got his cashmere on, hasn't he? Cashmere John. Oh, my word. Oh, Top Gear will not return to screens for the foreseeable future. That was an awful crash that Freddie Flintoff involved in. Even now, he's still in a bit of trouble, it looks like. But John's there, look. There he is. Don't say that's as close as we get to, in the last 3 weeks to John appearing on this video. But he took my Fintel there, building the perfect platform through smart M&A. So if you're missing John, watch his interview with Matt Timmins there, CEO of Fintel. I do quite like Fintel. They're doing some good stuff. Worth doing some research on that, I think. Okay. Most followed company, Wildcat Petroleum. There's a guy involved in Wildcat Petroleum thing. It just keeps spamming me in LinkedIn. I don't know who it is, but just send me messages and just like and follow them and all this stuff. No. Oh, Silver Bullet, second most followed. Just do some research on that. I know I talk about it a lot, but it's one of those companies I'm quite excited about. I think it's one of the most exciting tech stocks listed in the UK, especially nanocap, microcaps. Destiny's up there. Good energies are storming away. It's like, it's ridiculous. For a while, I sat there thinking, have I got this wrong? look at it. down here, it's holding, it's kind of rolling down. In fact, that was a lot more pronounced, but we'll take that out. And it was rolling down a bowl here. And then it started picking up. So, okay, here we go. That's it, at last. And now, it's literally doubled from 180 to 370, pretty much. And it's just powering away. In fact, Greg, are you there? You did say we'd have to get Robbie Burns on. Robbie Burns is the book Naked Trader. Very good. One of the first books I read back in the day. It helped me a lot. And I've just learned, apparently, from my investment club in the chat forum that Robbie has now tipped this. So, come on, Robbie, catch up. He's way behind me. I bought it down here. But apparently he's been tipping good energy. That's what I've learned there. What else on the front page? Truefin there. Ilka doing very well since that announcement yesterday. The Goliath batteries, of course, that's the batteries that are going to be powering the big EVs, because they do smaller batteries that power sort of medical devices, all that stuff. Solid state batteries. They've announced they've hit certain milestones yesterday, and it's powering away there. I do feel like somebody's walking. When I walk the dog past their office, I do feel like popping in saying, "You know, guys, you're doing well. How's it going? Yeah." They just look at me like I'm a maniac. But yeah, look at that. It has punched above that 2 day a couple of times, but it's trying to do it again. But okay. Oriol, UK Oil and Gas. Anyone still holding this? This, as long as I've been investing, that's been around, and people have been sort of jumping on that and reading that. And I just click on it once to see if the news is any good. It's down 2.1%, 2.2%, unless it's risen massively. They've ordered, there's an order of more 7-inch perforating guns capable of fully penetrating Panova's 9.5-inch casing. They arrived in the country last week via freight into Istanbul. That's exciting, isn't it? They arrived. I love the detail there. Arriving in country last week via air freight into Istanbul. We have to know exactly how they're being taken there. It's not by train, it's by air freight, man. Let's have a look at the UK. Oh, yeah, UK. Anyone invest in that? Look at that. And again, you've got that hype there. People still hang on to it. It did go one day from, you know, that was when they had this, apparently, the biggest oil find in the UK under Gatwick. Can't do a lot with that, really. But that was that. And the fact they're in Turkey now, pretty says, I don't know where they are at the moment, but you can see by the chart, it's not performed for people, which is sad because a lot of people following it. Pullbeg, Truefin, Sirica, board change. Who's changing there? CFO stepping down. Okay. Andy Bell. He's probably got a lot on, hasn't he, with AJ Bell. He's been replaced by Martin Copeland. Well done. I think the market is very good, actually. Avon Protection, preliminary results. What's the news there? Down 3.47%. What is, John's mentioned this, isn't he, a couple of times? But let's have a quick look at the top line here. Well, the closing order book is up. Everything else is down, pretty much. So we are. Avon. Let's look at Avon Protection. So Avon is rubber, isn't it? That's a clear downtrend. It did take off there nicely. And then just featuring, or just focus on the 200 moving average there, you know, broke up above it, down, up, down, down. The only thing is break it in the previous high, clearing that, okay? So you can see the previous high there, okay? And this is obviously, it's broken that quite a few times, three times, four times, and then a big up day above 200 moving average there. That was 18% rise. And then, look, it went from what? That, 14 quid. Up to 40 quid, and then it gapped down over the 200 moving average, which is, of course, a red flag. And then since then, it's come back down. So even if you just use that to help you, if you've obviously done fundamental research, then technical aid over the top. Hopefully that will help. Let's look. The Great British ISA, if announced tomorrow, could be rocket fuel for the UK market. The UK market has been so unloved for so long that it's extremely cheap. There's huge potential. Yeah, I genuinely think not only the Great British ISA, but the fact of pension money is billions. I mean, you're talking the big guys. The ISA would be a boost, both ends. It'd be nice. Private investors, of course, but, you know, private investor money compared to in pension funds is tiddling amounts. If you're talking about pension funds, you're talking billions. So if they could do both, I think the market will really take off. You want to attract that large money inflow, you know, into the markets, the pension funds. If that happens, I don't know how people get access to those funds, you know, smaller caps, innovative caps, but good. Michael, thanks for the update. Dave's Angling Club has closed down. Okay. John interviewing Fintel Chappie, but no sign of him here. Has he left us? No, he hasn't left us. But I think that was in a diary for a while. So he had to do that. But he's coming back. John is coming back. He will. He will come back. Let's just share screen. What else is here? From Paige, Turn, Calyx. Calyx is an interesting company. Quite boring. Revenue decline of 7.8. Gross margin maintained. Underlying EBITDA loss. What? So 7.8. So let's say that's 8 and double that, 16 million. 16 million loss for tax. What is the market cap on this? 57 million. It's quite highly valued, this. And it literally, what it did do very well. I couldn't understand it. Sometimes you can do all the fundamental research you want, and a company just take off because of the lack of stock and doesn't need a lot of buying. And you look at it and think, but if you can invest in companies like that, it's still a risk. But it has had a fall off. There we are. That's the reason why. A massive fall off here. And I think they did do, that's right now. I go back. They did do a profit warning trading update, didn't they? And it fell off a cliff. This is just the bounce from that, I suppose. But look at that. This is why catching a falling knife trade, not good. Down 14%, right? Down that day, down 5%, down half of 1%. Down 30%. So if you jumped in on these 2 days, down 30%, and said, it's going to rise now, then down another 21%. So it's still not cheap, though. Still not cheap. So I have to look at that. I don't understand why that is. It's not particularly cheap, then. Three times sales? That's kind of next. What else is rising and falling on the thing today? Scrolling down, Calyx, Strabi. I did look at AOL World as well. I put those in the three. But Rui, we talked about those yesterday. I said sometimes when things are oversold, they change a strategy. They can really go. We covered those yesterday. Videndum, and someone mentioned this recently. This is they've raised a good chunk of money, proposed capital raising. So they are obviously they're bigger market cap now, 155 million, right? They were. And they've raised 125 million. That's amazing. The equity market's being frozen. But they do the net proceeds of the capital raising to reduce leverage. So 55 net proceeds intend to fund the repayment and cancellation of the group's outstanding term loans, repay drawings. So that's a heck of a fundraise. For a company of that size, the same as their market cap, pretty much. Very interesting. Videndum. Oof! Look at that. Not good. But maybe this will provide a bit of a bottom here. They're clearing a debt. They're going to go debt free. What is their? How is their results? Their interim results. And it's not gangbusters, is it? It's not growing. Revenue down 25%, adjusted operating profit down 53%. So, but they are on 10 times, I suppose. Their net debt, look at that. Net debt of 216 million. Yeah, you can see why. When your net debt is bigger than market cap, that is a worry. But now that's maybe worth a look if they can get back to growing. Is it good value, though? Who knows? I don't want these boots, these socks. That's other risers. Let's look at Ilika's up. Yeah, Indices up. Nicely up. Braemar, I did look at them, actually, on the thing. They've been suspended for a while. They've come back now. But going forward, their growth isn't as spectacular as the last 2 years. They've suspended for... since June, I think. Where is it? Braemar Shipping, this is. And if you look at this, what is that? June. This is today, 21st of November. 30th of June they've been suspended for. But they're rising 15% there. But another interesting company worth looking at, Braemar. Cornerstone, what's the fall this year today? New Metals on a fundraise. They raised some money, and obviously a discount. Proposed equity raise to advance... Primobius. What is Primobius? Why, you tell me. So it's some kind of joint venture going on there. Anything else you've seen? Light Science has acquired a company which is odd. I mean, they do say there's synergies here. The acquisitions of Injector Fire Barrier, and then Agritech, an Injector Fire Barrier, a cost-effective cavity fire barrier. So they do say there's synergies, but I didn't really see it myself. But there we are. Light Science Tech. Up to a day, that seems like a low. We'd have to get above that previous high of 3.3, but maybe worth looking into. Earnings enhancing acquisitions, that's always good to hear. And it's synergies with existing group maintenance and installation operations. Okay, strong sales pipeline, initial order book. So that's interesting. What do they pay for it? Just say no. Well, look at that yourself. See what you say. It'd be interesting to see what they paid for it. So it was always interesting to see what companies pay for other companies. You know how they're valuing things like that. Music Magpie after yesterday's speculation is down. BT apparently and Aurelius going to buy it. Anything else you look at? Anything else in the comments, ladies and gentlemen? After Paul Hill mentioned, I did a bit of research on AssetCo and taken an initial position. The sum of the parts appear to be at least double the current current share price. Yeah, yeah. Asset managers, honestly, you know, there's a few out there. Have a look around, because once the stock market rises, of course, they rise. Because they're in a double whammy situation, asset managers, because what you get is redemptions from private investors. The asset managers then have to sell their holdings in those companies. And of course, those companies then value goes down, because sometimes, especially if they're small cap, micro cap, you know, the share price goes down in those companies, then that fund's net asset value or whatever goes down and people start selling. So it's almost a vicious cycle. When that stops, they double leverage the market, because the asset prices go up and the market rises. So there'll be some strong rises amongst those lots, you know, when the market actually turns. So I am looking at an asset, you know, a fund manager, asset manager, definitely, because I think it'll do very, very well. Very leveraged to just bull market, essentially, or bear market, depending which way you look at it. But yeah, very interesting. And quickly, everything's focused on the autumn statement tomorrow. There's just a couple of bits of news. Government borrowing rises ahead of autumn statement. Government borrowing in October was higher than expected at 14.9 billion. Oof, fancy borrowing 14.9 billion. But the figures show a smaller than expected deficit across the first half of the year. And it comes as speculation mounts. There could be tax cuts in the Chancellor's autumn statement tomorrow. And finally, Black Friday. Is anyone taken in by Black Friday? I suppose it's a purchase point, isn't it? It makes you look around for bargains. But retailers have hit back after study finds just 2% of Black Friday offers were at their cheapest price. Like on research by Which, they said just 2% of them were. But then retailers come back, said and said point to the fact that chains do not typically promise to make Black Friday deals their cheapest of the year. Yeah, they're probably cheapest of the week. It's like we just lowered the price. You know, it was cheaper sort of a month ago, but we just dropped it a little bit. It's Black Friday, everybody, yay, quick! Well, of course, when it's Black Friday, it's been Black Friday on the AIM-ALL share for the last 2 years. No one seems to be buying. Well, they will. You know, as soon as you realize it's a bargain, some of these stocks are a bargain, you think, oh, I'll tuck these away. And that's the thing, is there a difference between the sales in the shops and sales on the market? People run away from the sales when it happens in the market, and in shops, they're into the shops. Anything else? Anything? Anything else? Any more? For any more? No, that's it. Okay. Thank you for joining me today on this Tuesday afternoon. It is afternoon, isn't it? And don't forget. Oh yeah. So one more comment. Supermono could be a very busy day tomorrow, so let's have a light-hearted interlude first. Two fish in a tank. One says, how do you drive this thing? Yeah. I get my coat. There we are. In fact, that'll be good. Supermono, I'm going to leave you. If anyone else, I always like to finish off with a joke. So if you, you know, when we come to the end of the webinar, If anyone's trying to put a joke, they keep it clean, please. Just, you know, funny little jokes. I think that's a nice way to end. Apart from saying, don't forget, hit that like, subscribe to the channel. Very important, that. And if you could, download the Vox Markets app. It's free of charge, of course. And we'll speak tomorrow. Thanks so much. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.